They will use Newman for their heresy. I got back from a 12-day retreat to read the happy news that the Holy Father has confirmed the plans to proclaim St. John Henry Newman a doctor of the church. I've never read much from Newman myself, but he seems to be universally respected by all Catholic men of letters, but with a dark side. But let me return to that in a moment. The apostasy of Elbion. First, even though I haven't read much from Newman, we can already see the immense significance of this news in the history of the church. In many ways, the whole crux of the Protestant revolt has been the downfall of Elbion, i.e. Catholic Britain, whose totalitarian police state, led by the wicked anti-Mary witch queen Elizabeth I, paved the way for all the evils of our day. From the anti-Catholic Whig history of, quote, Great Britain's empire and its ugly revolution of 1688, to the anti-Catholic manifest destiny of the Anglo-American empire promoting the errors of Russia in our own day. For the whole sad tale, you can see my book, City of God versus City of Man. Thus, one of the greatest saints of modern times, St. Paul of the Cross, 1694 to 1775, offered his communions for some 50 years for the conversion of England. His prayers were heard by God. The sons of St. Paul of the Cross, the Passionists, went to England and received the penance of the Anglican heretics who were, in the 19th century, falling on their knees before Rome in great numbers, a movement known as the Oxford Movement. And the greatest of these penitent heretics was St. John Henry Newman. So now this man, the first fruits of penitent Elbion, will be a doctor of the church. The prayers of St. Paul of the Cross are bearing greater and greater fruit. As the old faith of our fathers' song petitions, quote, may England and all her daughters may soon be free of heresy by Mary's prayers. The neo-modernists use and abuse of Newman. But we know why the heretics are promoting this news. We've seen them do it before. They've convinced the Holy Father to issue fiducia supplicans and then called it a development and wrongly cited Newman with all their other developments. This brings up the other fact that Newman is famous for, the phrase, the development of doctrine. Side note, I don't know if Newman actually came up with that phrase, but that's the name of his book. Now, I haven't studied Newman's text thoroughly. The best print editions seem to be published by Word on Fire, in fact. But his treatise, An Essay on Development of Doctrine, published before his conversion, makes a great attempt to define the Orthodox concept of development against the modernist concept of evolution. Evolution is heretical modernism. Evolution is simple. You put a monkey here and a man there. The only process that could make one into the other is what Calvin and Hobbes called transmogrification, i.e. evolution. It's the changing of one thing into the substance of another thing, which is itself a contradiction of the former thing. Here's an example of evolution. Number one, whosoever shall shed man's blood, his blood shall be shed, for man was made to the image of God. Genesis 9:6. That's number one. Number two, the death penalty is intrinsically evil. It is always evil and always has been in every circumstance. These two statements contradict each other. The only way for one to become another is by means of evolution. Here's another example that the modernists promote. Number one, Jesus did not rise from the dead. Number two, Jesus did rise from the dead. The modernists, which Newman and later Pope Pius X condemned, said that in the early church, Jesus actually did not rise from the dead. But after decades and centuries, the pious feelings about Jesus from the faithful evolved into the belief that he did rise from the dead. Development is orthodoxy. Now let's see what Newman would say about the death penalty using the teaching of Pope St. John Paul II. Number one, whosoever shall shed man's blood, his blood shall be shed, for man was made to the image of God. Genesis 9:6. Number two, In our post-war epoch, where the situations have changed dramatically from former times, it safeguards the image of God in man better to spare the lives of criminals rather than to put them to death. Even though in former times, with different circumstances, capital punishment was right and just, as Genesis proclaims. Agree or disagree with the second statement, summarizing the teaching of Papa Wojtyła? The second statement is not contradictory to the first. Instead, it is a development which maintains the inner logos contained in the first statement. Hence, the magisterial texts of Vatican I contained this anathema, quote, "If anyone shall assert it to be possible that sometimes, according to the progress of knowledge, scientia, knowledge, a sense, sensus, is to be given to doctrines propounded by the church different from that which the church has understood and understands, let him be anathema," end quote. That's from Vatican I Dei Filius. The key term here is sensus. In the second example of development, the sense of justice contained in Genesis is maintained. It is about respecting the image of God in man in both cases. That's why when Pope St. Pius X the Great imposed his oath against modernism, which some theologians maintain is infallible, he included this key phrase, same sense. Now here's a quote from the oath against modernism. Quote, "I sincerely hold that the doctrine of faith was handed down to us from the apostles through the Orthodox fathers in exactly the same sense and always in the same knowledge. Eodem sensu, eademque semper sententia. Therefore, I entirely reject the heretical misrepresentation that dogmas evolve and change from one meaning to another, different from the one which the church held previously," end quote. So that's the oath against modernism, or part of it. And this is why Pope St. John Paul II, in his fight against the neo-modernists, maintained this key phrase in Veritatis Splendor in his discussion of development versus evolution. So now we're going to quote from Veritatis Splendor 53. So this is John Paul II. "Certainly there is a need to seek out and discover the most adequate formulation for universal and permanent moral norms in the light of different cultural contexts. A formulation most capable of ceaselessly expressing their historical relevance, of making them understood and of authentically interpreting the truth. This truth of the moral law, like that of the deposit of faith, unfolds down the centuries. The norms expressing that truth remain valid in their substance, but must be specified and determined eodem sensu eademque sententia," same sense and same understanding, "in the light of historical circumstances by the Church's Magisterium, whose decision is preceded and accompanied by the work of interpretation and formulation characteristic of the reason of individual believers and of theological reflection," end quote from John Paul II. So he's saying that we can develop the terms that we use, but we cannot develop the sense. Sense cannot change. It's got to be the same. So what do the neo-modernists do in our day? They put a heretical monkey next to a man and say, this is development. Now, here's a quote from C.S. Lewis's The Last Battle. "And now there's another thing you got to learn," said the ape. "I hear some of you are saying that I'm an ape. Well, I'm not. I'm a man. And if I look like an ape, that's because I'm so very old, hundreds and hundreds of years old. And it's because I'm so old that I'm so wise. And it's because I'm so wise that I'm the only one Aslan is ever going to speak to. He can't be bothered talking to a lot of stupid animals. He'll tell me what you've got to do, and I'll tell the rest of you. Take my advice and see that you do it and double quick time, for he doesn't mean to stand any nonsense," end quote. So that's what they're going to do to fool us stupid animals. Tell us that a monkey is a man and call it development. And say, well, Cardinal Newman is a doctor of the church, so there. If you ask questions, this is what they'll say. "Now, don't you start arguing," said the ape, "for it's a thing I won't stand. I'm a man, and you're only a fat, stupid old bear. What do you know about freedom? You think freedom means doing what you like. Well, you're wrong. That isn't true freedom. True freedom means doing what I tell you." So that's all from C.S. Lewis's The Last Battle. If you haven't read that text, you need to go read that. It's like a Christian animal farm. Okay, moving on. Now, this is why I can understand the concern of my friend Chris Jackson in the wickedness of the neo-modernists in misusing Newman. They're constantly quoting Newman. They've been quoting him for how many years now? I don't know. But, however, I also support the effort of my other friend, Murray Rundis, to have a formal debate about Newman and discuss it in detail. So if you click the link below for the text of this article that I'm reading from, you can check out Murray Rundis's discussion of this. It's on his own channel. You can also just search his channel, and he has a video called Newman Victory or something like that. Okay, so even though development doctrine is true, there are many metaphysical nuances that have not been magisterially clarified. I just quoted from the basic texts. I mean, Veritas de Splendor, Vatican I, Oath Against Modernism. They affirm that there is a development, but they attempt to distinguish it between development and evolution. But there's all sorts of different metaphysical nuances of that have not been clarified. Here at 1 Peter 5, we aim to unite the clans to rebuild Christendom. So we support a formal debate between Mr. Jackson and Mr. Rundis to try to delve deeper into these crucial issues, since the neo-modernists will be using Newman more and more in the coming days. In any case, St. John Henry Newman, pray for us. Jesus is King.